We are looking at the paragraph which begins verse 11 of chapter 2 and ends at the end of the chapter in verse 21. Last week we started going through that paragraph but had to stop in verse 16. And so today we're going to focus more on the rest, on 17 to 21. But I will read the entire passage, verses 11 to 21, so we can be in context. So, Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Paul says, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, 'If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." Now, as you know, we talked about this numerous times over the past few weeks. Paul is writing this letter to the churches, plural, in Galatia, because some men have gone to those churches, which we call, these men, we call them the Judaizers, and they have said that you are not justified by faith alone in Christ, as Paul teaches, but you need to add certain works in order to be saved. And the main work that they were adding was circumcision. They thought that you needed to become Jewish in order to believe in the Jewish Messiah. And so we call them the Judaizers. And now Paul writes this angry letter to defend the truth of the gospel and justification by faith alone and to condemn those who are adding works to the gospel. Now, as we saw last week in the beginning of our text, the story is simple. Peter has left Jerusalem and he has come to Antioch. Antioch is the church where Paul has been ministering. And in Antioch, they understand that there is no difference between Jew or Gentile. The Jews and the Gentiles eat together. There's no problems. And when Peter came, he understood that and he sat down. He would eat with the Gentiles, eat the unclean food with them. He understood that it's fine. God himself in Acts 10 had told him that it's fine. And so everything is good. But at some point, some people show up, some Jewish Christians show up from Jerusalem who seem to have had a problem with this. And so Peter backs up and separates from the Gentiles in the church and only eats with the Jews. And so you have this division within the church in Antioch. You have the Gentiles on the one hand and the Jews on the other hand. And so Paul is not happy about this at all. And he confronts Peter to his face. And he says, look, you've been living like a Gentile. We know that. We've seen you. You've been living like a Gentile. And now you're trying to go back to being Jewish again? What's up with that? You're being a hypocrite. Now, and he moves on to say to him, you know that there are no works that say you definitely not getting circumcised or being Jewish or eating certain foods. Those are not going to make you right before God. But you are justified by faith in Christ. Now, let's start in verse 15 because I think it'll be better to understand what's going on in our text. We looked at these last week, but we'll look at them again. Verse 15. This is Paul addressing Peter. And he says, "We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles." Now, the sentence goes on, but I've got to stop right there because people are amazed that he speaks of the Gentiles as sinners. Paul is using the kind of language that Jews would use concerning Gentiles. And I think he's being a tad sarcastic because he's going to explain that there's really no difference. But his point is, Jews would look at Gentiles as sinners, as dogs, unrighteous, because the Gentiles didn't have, first of all, they didn't follow the law. They weren't circumcised. They didn't follow the food laws. They didn't have the Ten Commandments. They had nothing. They not only did they not follow the law, they didn't even have the law. And so in the Jewish mind, if the Gentiles don't even have the law, it's impossible for them to be righteous. So automatically, whenever they think of Gentiles, sinners. It's not that they thought that they were necessarily sinless. Some Pharisees may have been like that, but in general, they understood, okay, we're not sinless, but we have the law. We follow it to some extent. Gentiles, nothing. And so he's using that kind of language, and he says to Peter, look, you and I are Jews by nature. We're born into this. We have the law. We're not sinners like the Gentiles. But here's what happens. Verse 16, he says, knowing, we know, you and I, Peter, we know that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. You see, the Jews, or the Judaizers in this case, were saying, well, you need to do these things in order to be clean and acceptable before God. The Gentiles are not clean because they don't follow the food laws, they're not circumcised, and so forth. And Paul says, we know, Peter, that no works can save you, let alone Jewish ceremonial laws. Okay? So many people who don't get this, and they say, well, why can't we be saved by works? Why can't we be saved by being good? All right, let me just give you a quick example, and we'll put this behind us. What's the greatest commandment? Someone asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? He said, okay, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, who has ever done that? Who has ever loved God with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your mind, with everything that is inside you? You have loved God perfectly all your life. And, not just that, and your neighbor. No one. That's the point. No one. And so Paul is saying to Peter, even though you and I, we're Jews, and we've had the privileges of having the scriptures read to us every week, we've been circumcised, we've had all these things, we have the law, but we know that it doesn't work. You can't be saved that way. We've tried to be saved that way. Trust me, Paul tried to be saved by following the law. But it wouldn't work. This is the same problem that Martin Luther had in the 16th century, where Martin Luther was a monk, and he tried and tried and tried to get right with God by doing good works. And he said, if ever a monk could be saved through monkery, it would have been me. But it never, all the works that he did just didn't give him peace, didn't. He was still felt guilty. He still knew that he wasn't righteous enough to stand before God. And Paul is saying the same thing. We know, Paul is saying, Peter, we know that you're not saved through these things. You're saved through faith in Christ. Okay, and that's why he says in verse 16, in the middle, he says, even we, so he's saying, so since we know that, even we, you and I, we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ. And not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. He says, we know that you can't be saved through works. So you and I, Peter, we're not trying to be saved through works. We're not hoping in our works anymore. We've given up trying to be justified by the law. That's not going to work. We need to trust in Christ alone. Now, here's the thing. looking at this contrast between Jews and Gentiles. It's very easy to say, it's very easy for the Judaizers to say, those Gentiles, they're sinners because they don't have the law. Yeah, but the Jews had the law and they didn't keep it. So what? There's no difference. What's the difference between not having the law or having it and not keeping it? The Gentiles, Jews, it's the same thing. It's not going to work by saying, oh, you know, we can't be like them. All mankind has the same problem. Whether you're a Jew, Gentile, doesn't make any difference. All mankind has sinned before a holy God. And this is everyone's problem. How is a sinner going to stand before a holy God and expect to be justified, expect to be declared right? It can't happen, not by the law, unless we are justified through someone else who takes our place. This is the gospel. Let me explain this really quick before we get into the rest of the text, which as it goes on, it gets more thick theologically, shall we say. All right. Here's the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Amazing verse. If you need something to memorize, memorize that one. For God took him who knew no sin and made him to be sin for us, that we in him may become the righteousness of God. What's that talking about? On the cross, there's an exchange that happens. When we trust in Christ, our sin is placed on Jesus. He becomes our sin, and he is punished for it. But it doesn't end there. There's an exchange. All his perfect righteousness is then accounted to us, and we can stand before God, and God can look at us, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and say, you're righteous and acceptable. Not because of what we did, but because of what Christ has done for us. Alright? Now, that's the glory of the gospel and justification by faith alone. Now, moving into verse 17, and I need you all to follow along now in the text, and let's worship the Lord with our minds. Verse 17. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. Now, remember what he's responding to. He's dealing with the Judaizer heresy that is teaching that you've got to be Jewish in order to be saved. What were the Judaizers specifically adding to the gospel? We've already seen that there's nothing that can save, no works can save you. But what were the specific rules that they were trying to add to the gospel? Circumcision, food laws, stuff like that. Those Judaistic laws. Alright, you need to be cleansed by being Jewish. And the Gentiles haven't done that. Now, what Paul is saying here in this text is, if while we seek to be justified by Christ, which is what we are seeking, you and I, Paul, we Jewish Gentiles who have trusted in Christ, we're seeking to be saved through Christ alone. If we ourselves are also found sinners, now what's he talking about? If we ourselves are also found to be like the Gentiles, because that's what we've been doing. We want to be saved through Christ, not through these ceremonial laws, so we've been living like the Gentiles. And the Judaizer sees that and he says, wait a minute. All my life, I've been told, do this, don't do that, eat this food, wear that. And now you're saying that through Christ, you're just going and eating the unclean food with the sinners, that you're eating pig. You're sinning. This is a sin. And so the argument is Christ promoting sin? Is Christ saying, oh, forget the law, just go ahead and sin? And Paul is saying, no, 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 no. Certainly not. That's not what's going on at all. Verse 18, for if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. On the contrary, it's not giving up on those Jewish ceremonial laws that makes you a sinner, because those things have been torn down. We've put those aside. It's going back to them that would make you a sinner. It's what Peter was doing, what the problem that Peter was doing, that he correctly really had given up on those things and then is trying to go back, which is what the Judaizers are doing, he says, if I rebuild those things, then I'm a transgressor. It's not a sin to be like the Gentiles. It's a sin to think that being Jewish, you're somehow more special. Now, listen to these words in verse 19. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. I read that phrase there because it's connected to what he just said. Now, he's dealing with people who are saying, you've got to follow the law in order to be saved. You've got to follow the law, follow the law, follow the law, or you can't be justified. You can't be all right in the sight of God. And Paul says, I'm dead to the law. What a statement. I'm dead to the law. Law can't touch me. What do you mean? I mean, here you had a guy who used to be a Pharisee, who used to live for the law, and now he's a Christian and he says, I'm dead to the law. I'm going to live for Christ. I'm not living for the law anymore. The law has no power over me. It can do nothing to me. But here's the strange phrase that we need to examine. He says, I, through the law, died to the law. And you're like, okay, what is that talking about now? I'm going to try and break this down, and I need you to follow me. How is it that through the law, he died to the law? Now, first of all, what does the law require of you? To obey it. Okay, that's easy. What does the law do to you if you don't follow it? There's a penalty. Well, Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. So, the law requires death for those who break it. Okay? Now, is anyone here a sinner? Okay, yes. So if we're sinners, we should, according to the law, die because of our sins. Okay? Up until that point, we're good. No problems. Now, why did Jesus die on the cross? And I'm bringing this in because in the next verse it says, I've been crucified with Christ. This is important. Why did Jesus die on the cross? To pay the penalty of the law for me, on my behalf, as my substitute. Okay? Now, let's assume that you have some paperwork that you need to do for government work or something, and you can't make it there. So you say to me, Nico, can you, I'm going to sign this paper, like a power of attorney, and I'm going to send you to do it for me, in my place. And I go and do it. Okay? Now, legally, according to the law, you did it. Right? Because I did it in your place. Okay? So you did it. Which means that if Jesus died according to the law for my sin, and he's my substitute, then that means that I died. Right? If he did something in my place, that means that if he died for me, then I died. We often talk about how Jesus died so that I may live. And that's true, but technically it's not quite precise. Jesus died so that I may die. And he rose again and lives forever, that I may live forever. Okay? I'm united with Christ through faith, and therefore what he does applies to me. Now, on the cross, follow me here, on the cross, my debt, which was death, was paid by Jesus. But he did it for me, which means that I have died under the law. Which means that the law can do nothing more to me. The punishment has already been finished. It's done. Through the penalty of the law can't touch me anymore. Let me try and talk for your example. Let's assume that you have someone who has done multiple crimes, okay, and he's going to be executed. He should be executed 10 times, but the government can't do that. Once they execute him once, They can't do anything more. All the worst that the law can do to you is kill you once. That's it. That's the penalty. There's nothing more that it can't go any further than that. And the punishment for your sins, when you trust in Christ, the punishment for your sins was poured out on Christ, which means that the law can't do anything more to you. Through the law, punishment that came through the law, I'm dead to the law. Law can't touch me. Can't do anything to me. Let me give you a couple more examples, because this is the most glorious thought in the passage, and we need to understand this. Let me give you a couple of examples. Think of chicken pox, the sickness. Okay? I get the chicken pox. After I've gotten the chicken pox can't do anything more to me. I can't get sick anymore from the chicken pox because it's done. It did its worst and that's it. Can't touch me anymore. I could take a little kid that has chicken pox and rub it on my face. I wouldn't get sick. Why? Because through the chicken pox, I'm dead chicken pox. Can't touch me. Following that argument? Let me give you another one. I heard this story once a long time ago by a preacher, and I loved it. He was explaining the gospel, and it stuck in my mind, and I thought it was a good example to use now. He said, he was telling this story that there was this field, and there was a little boy and his little sister, and a fire began in the field, and it started sweeping across, and was coming towards them, and they were terrified. They knew they wouldn't be able to run away fast enough, and the fire would get them. And so what the boy did, he lit fire and burnt a circle where they were. And so what does he do? After it's been burnt, they go and they stand in the circle that's been burnt. And the fire is coming and it's coming and it's coming. And it surrounds them. And the little girl is crying. She's scared because there's fire everywhere. And the little boy says to her, "Don't worry, we're standing where the fire has already been. So the fire can't touch you anymore." If you're in Christ, you're standing where the fire has already been. The penalty of the law has already been poured out on Christ. Can't touch you. If you trust in Christ, He took the chicken pox for you, so to speak. You can't get it anymore. There is a reason. Where is it? Romans 8. Verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Think about this thought. If Jesus was already punished for your sins, then God can't punish you for the same sin. It would be unjust of God to punish the same sin twice. Either He'll punish you or He'll punish Jesus. Which one do you want? If Jesus has been punished for you, that's it. The requirements of the law, which is death and punishment for you, if you're in Christ, it's done. You cannot be condemned if you are in Christ, because Jesus was condemned for you. Through the law, the punishment of the law, the penalty of the law, I'm dead to the law, he says. Because these people get into the mindset. These people are saying, you've got to follow the law. Keep the law. The law is going to, if you don't keep it, you know, you're going to be punished. You're going to go to hell if you don't get circumcised. And if you don't do all these things. And he says, I'm dead to the law. The law can't touch me. Christ died for me. I'm crucified with Christ. Look at verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. What does that mean? How can this be? It is through faith. We are united to Him. This is a doctrine that is all over the New Testament, all the time, and we don't even think about it. How many times does the Scripture say that we are in Christ? Or how many times does the Scripture say that Christ is in us? What is that referring to? It's referring to our union with Him. We are united to Christ. What happens to Him happens to us. And so, if he has died for my sin, I've died for my sin, the Lord can't touch me. Likewise, His perfect righteousness applies to me, and God accepts me. He says, I'm dead to the law. And He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He said, He says, my life right now is in Christ. I live for Him. I'm not living for the law. I'm living for Christ. My life is all about Him. My desires, my wants, it's about what Christ wants. And even though he said, I've been crucified, then he says, yet I do live. I do have a life in the flesh. But I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul doesn't talk about the love of God as often as you may think, but he does here. And he says, you know what? God loved me. Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. Whenever we talk about justification by faith alone in Christ, being dead to the law, having assurance of salvation, knowing that I'm in Christ and that I cannot be condemned, people don't like that. People say, no, 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 no. If we have that kind of assurance, if we can be saved through faith alone and not by our works, what's going to keep us from sinning? What's going to keep us in check? We need the law to keep us doing what's right. Because if we're just saved through faith alone, then everyone's just going to do whatever they want. That's the argument all the time. And Paul says, look, Christ lives in me. I'm a new creature in Christ. I have something way more powerful than the law that scares me to keep me to live a holy life. I have Christ living inside of me to lead me, to keep me, to teach me. I don't need the law over me saying you're going to go to hell in order to live a holy life. Look, let me say this. He says Jesus Christ loved me and gave himself for me. If that doesn't lead you to live a holy life for him, the law's not going to do it. The law scaring you, saying, you're going to go to hell. Yeah, look, do you remember the Jews at Sinai? Jesus, God booms down the Ten Commandments, and they're, oh, no, no, Moses, you go and talk to him. We don't want to speak to God. Oh, we're terrified. We're going to die. And then a few days later, they're building the golden calf. The law is not going to change your heart. The law is not going to keep you in check. But it's Christ who saves you. And if he is living in you, why would you live in sin? And look what he says, verse 21. I do not set aside the grace of God, as the Judaizers were doing by adding works. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Two statements here. If you add works to the gospel, you're doing two things. Number one, you're setting aside the grace of God. You're nullifying the grace of God. And two, you make Christ's death meaningless, pointless. Let me explain these things. First of all, he says, I don't nullify the grace of God. Let me try and explain this. Try and follow me here. Let's say we got two people, okay? And God gives them both grace to save them. Okay? The one does all the works that the Judaizers are requiring. The other one does not. And let's say that this guy ends up in heaven and this guy ends up in hell. Question. What was it that got this guy to heaven? You cannot say it was grace. Because this guy got the grace also and it didn't help him. This guy got the grace initially and didn't save him. So you'd have to say it was his works that got him in. If you're going to say, because the Judaizers are looking at this, because Paul is saying, if you're saved through works, then you just throw out the grace of God. And I can see the Judaizers saying, no, 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 no. We're not throwing out God's grace. We're saying you need both. You need both the grace of God and works together in order to be saved. We're not throwing out grace. And this is what every religion does, by the way. Greek Orthodox, Roman Catholic, JWs, Mormons, whatever you want. They all say, no, 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 we're not saying you don't need the grace of God in order to be saved, obviously. But it's a combination. You need both the grace of God and works in order to get there. But that doesn't work. Paul doesn't allow for that. He says, look, it's either by the works or it's by grace. Do you know what he says in Romans 11? Paul says, if it is by grace, it is no longer by works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. You're either saved through the grace of God or you're saved by your works. That's it. He doesn't allow for a mixture. It's black and white, one or the other. Take your pick. He says, if you add anything to the gospel, you've thrown out the grace of God. And secondly, he says, you make Christ's death pointless. If the law can somehow make you righteous, if by following rules you can somehow be good enough for God, Jesus died for no reason. Do the good works and go to heaven. Why does Jesus have to die a terrible death on the cross if you can just do what you need to do, get circumcised, eat the foods, get baptized, have communion, do whatever it is you need to do, and you'll get to heaven? Why does Jesus need to die on the cross? If you add anything, Jesus' death is pointless. But if you cannot be made righteous by the law, as Paul has already said, then Christ's death is absolutely necessary and the only means of salvation. Has everyone been following me today? I feel like I've talked about, like we were kind of all over the place. Let me give you a quick summary of what Paul said in these verses and we'll close. First of all, Paul reminds Peter that even the Jews who have the law, they themselves cannot be justified by the law. They themselves need to trust in Christ. It's through faith in Him that they're saved. Secondly, he says, those who have been justified, those who are in Christ, are no longer under the penalty of the law. The law cannot touch you because Christ paid the price for you. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm united to Him. So what happened to Him happened to me. And it's over. The law has done all it could do, and it can't punish me anymore if I am in Christ. And thirdly, he says, to think as the Judaizers did, and many do today, to think that you can become righteous through certain works of the law is to reject the grace of God. And so, let us not try and hope in our filthy rags, as Isaiah calls them, and try and add our filthy rags to the perfect holiness of Christ, but trust in what He has done alone for our salvation. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray.